This is Toon Talk Weekly, episode 263. This week, Brad and I head off to summer camp when we watch an episode of the brand new Cartoon Network series, Summer Camp Island.
I'm glad you're excited, but I'm not really expecting to have fun at camp. At least you'll have your best friend there.
I'm fun. Right, Mom?
Of course you're fun. Who said you're not fun? You're very fun. You're my special little guy.
All right, Mom. Too hot? Nope. Too fun.
Wait for me.
Whoa, I can't believe we're standing here on this moving car on the freeway.
Okay, okay.
See, summer camp is gonna be awesome.
Thanks, Oscar.
Day just keeps getting better.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Toon Talk Weekly. This is the weekly cartoon podcast where we chat about, you guessed it, cartoons. I'm Jake Williams, not the only guy here. Always do the show here with my good friend Brad Chmielewski. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, dude. It's been a pretty solid weekend. Some good weather. Not too, I'm talking about the weather. Why is the weather the first thing I brought up? but it kind of reminded me, I spent a lot of time outside this weekend. That I think we picked the perfect show to talk about when the weather's nice and you actually want to be outside and hang out with your friends in the summertime. And that would be Summer Camp Island.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going with all this. It's just like, yeah, it's summer thing and nice out and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but it's funny that like you're thinking of it as a summer, a summer show. It is called Summer Camp Island, but... one episode that I watched, we'll get into it, but there's snow, like it's snowing.
Oh, gosh. Which doesn't surprise me at all, by the way, with this show. But it's kind of an interesting one because this show, I feel like we've been hitting it pretty hard recently with 2018, 2017 releases. Mainly because it feels like every other week or every month or something, like a brand new one dropped and I heard nothing about it. Which, you know, a lot of that has to do with either like, what you're reading, you know, who you're following on Twitter or whatever, who might be posting stuff about the show. Right now with Comic-Con stuff coming out, San Diego Comic-Con, I think, is going on or almost done or something. So
yeah,
lots of cool cartoon news is coming out about that, going all over the blogs and stuff. But sometimes you get a show like Summer Camp Island that just, yeah, I mean, it's literally been out for 2 weeks now and it just did not come across my radar whatsoever.
No.
Which is kind of interesting. So I'm a little bit sad that I didn't hear it. It's sort of like whatever the network that it's on pushes is what you're going to see. You know, so if it's Cartoon Network, you're going to know they have a new Teen Titans episode. Right? Like, I think that's probably their top draw at this point.
Yeah, probably Teen Titans, Gumball, and Steven Universe. Right?
And Adventure Time's still like their anchor, right, until that show's done.
I think it's done.
Is it done? So this is the other thing I've noticed recently about the way time works. Is that stuff just happens. You read a piece of news because you read news all day. If you work on a computer, you know what this is like. And then you remember that piece of news for like a very long time, but you think it just happened. Like I remember hearing about Adventure Time being done soon.
Final episode is, it was announced that the final episode will air on September 3rd. So almost.
Okay, yeah. So don't trick me like that. But it's like how I brought up a few weeks ago, how like I still need to get through those like other couple of Castlevania episodes, of which there are only four. And we did that show almost a year ago. So it's like time just happens and sometimes you forget about stuff. So just like I'm doing at the intro of the show. So let's talk a little bit about the show, Summer Camp Island. It's created by Julia Pott, who, of course, airs on Cartoon Network. She was formerly an animator and a story staff writer on Adventure Time. So I think you can see a little bit of that influence in there, potentially. A fun little interesting fact is that actually this is the second original Cartoon Network series that's produced solely by a woman creator, the first of which was Rebecca Sugar, who made Steven Universe. Mm-hmm. So right up Brad's alley already. It's in good company, I think. What's interesting about this show, I think, is the way in which it premiered, right? So it premiered July 7th, so just a few weeks ago. One season, 20 total episodes. The way in which it premiered was that on Cartoon Network and its sister network, Boomerang, they did a 48-hour marathon where they just played all the episodes for 48 hours.
Okay.
So instead of doing like the once a week thing, it's just like, here's 20 episodes. What is that like? Does that scream anything to you? Or is that like just them trying new things?
Well, I think it's them trying new things. They have been for a while. Episodes will release on the app and the website like weeks before they'll air on TV. Because you're better off getting the people to go to that website because the tracking data, the ad revenue, you can just learn more about them than when it's airing on TV. You get real numbers.
Right. So it sounds like the tools are better to do it like modern like that versus like put it out and tell everybody it's going to be on 8 o'clock on TV. But, you know, I'm speaking mainly for us as people who do not go sit in front of our TV at a specific time to watch something anymore. Maybe that audience isn't quite what you need it to be.
Right. But then they also can dump the whole thing on their website like that day then too, or that week. So they don't have to worry about like, oh, which episodes are up there? How do people find it? So I believe all episodes are on the Cartoon Network website too.
Yeah. And you know what? It's worked for Netflix for years and they didn't lose any revenue or anything, right? Dropping like, here's House of Cards. Here's whatever new original thing. Here's just all the episodes have at it. Mm-hmm. Right.
And it also being summertime, it's called Summer Camp Island. Mm-hmm. You do have a lot of kids who are at home. They're not in school. So dropping a show that you can be like, here, watch them all. It's a summer show in the summer. Here you go.
You got to get them binging young is really what you got to do. You got to start. Just drop 20 episodes in front of them and see how they do with 48-hour marathon on two networks.
And then the flip side of that, too, if someone doesn't like that, then they may go to the app or the website to watch one of their favorite shows. So it like forces them to do something else, too, if they don't appreciate it.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to think about it. Like, if suddenly your network traffic is down, which it takes way longer for you to get those numbers anyway, and then like your website traffic is up, you're like, oh, maybe people didn't like that show. Maybe they wanted to watch Teen Titans or whatever else is there. So
exactly.
It's kind of interesting. So I just never heard of a network doing that. Of course, we bring up Netflix and Hulu and other original web productions. Like they seem to just drop everything anyway. And that's kind of the way they go about it. So I found that pretty interesting. The general way I would describe this show is it mainly follows the two main characters who go off to this this island for a summer camp, thus the name Summer Camp Island. The two main characters being Oscar, who's an elephant, and Hedgehog is a hedgehog. And there's anthropomorphic animals throughout this, but what they learn very quickly once they get to this summer camp is that it's not just about making potholders for your friends. And cute things like that they see in the pamphlet. Once all the parents are gone, you learn that this island is like a magical place. There's like witches or the camp counselors. There are dimensions that can be viewed through other, like through post-it notes and stuff. Just about everything turns into a beast or a creature and or has eyes and a mouth and can talk.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot to take in. And I'd say that's the theme of the first episode, which we'll definitely touch on here. But even for the viewer, I think it's a lot to take in at first. Like, it just goes, and you're there. And I think that's great, but I have some thoughts about the show. So that's generally what you can expect from Summer Camp Island. They're on this very magical place for the summer, and you have two characters, Oscar, who is very much, I guess, a creature of habit, right? Probably like a lot of us young, nerdy kids who just sort of stays in his lane, knows his every day, and so when things are new, they seem scary. They make you nervous and that kind of thing. And so he's obviously got his own things to deal with. Meanwhile, you've got his like best friend Hedgehog, who is a she, correct?
Yes.
Right. She seems to be, at least in what I've seen of her so far, a little bit more ingrained quickly. But I think they learned like the power of friendship and actually being together to like help each other through this very crazy experience that they're going to go through in this series.
Yeah, I think Oscar kind of likes Hedgehog. Yeah,
I definitely get that vibe for sure. I will mention really quick that I did watch, so there was a little bit of precursors to Summer Camp Island, the series from Julia Pott, who created the series. I guess back in 2011, she had I think it was a student film or something like that, a short film called Belly. And this was actually one of the first features of Oscar, who was the original mm-hmm. character. I will also say it's worth going to check out because for a student film, it's great. I think it tells a really interesting story. However, comparing that with Summer Camp Island, it is very much darker and sadder. I did not know what to expect going to check it out, but it was very interesting. So I recommend if you guys like Summer Camp Island and you want to see kind of where that came from, just go ahead and look up like Summer Camp Island Belly and you'll probably come across that short film. I think there's another short film too, but I didn't see that one. It was like it was like strangeness that is strange, not like the current very popular on Cartoon Network, especially strangeness, which is cute, right? Like make something weird happen, but slap a smiley face on it with the eyes real close to the mouth, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the vibe I got. So let's talk a little bit about the series, Brad. You mentioned you've caught a couple of episodes here. I've only had a chance to catch the pilot, which is entitled The First Day. But where do we start off in, like, the first day? Where do they introduce us in this world of Summer Camp Island?
Well, yeah, you kind of ran through that first pilot episode where we get, you know, dropped off. We learn that it's run by witches. Everything can talk. And Oscar is having a hard time dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Oscar, so this isn't what you expected. Thought you were going to be living in some kind of normal tent with Hedgehog. Or maybe building a normal fire with Hedgehog. Wait, I'm about to spend the summer with Hedgehog, and she's the coolest person in the world. Okay, I'll just go be normal with Hedgehog while I get used to everything.
Oh my gosh, hi, do you want to put me on?
Ah! My favorite pair of pajamas are talking. Now I've seen everything.
Basically, as soon as episode 2 starts, that episode 1 was just to set it up, and everything you kind of learned in that episode is unimportant. Oscar's scaredness or uneasiness of the world, because it's really just something different, not that it's weird, it's just not what he's used to, is out the window. Like, so whatever. Like, that episode was really just to introduce you to the platform that we're now on.
Crazy. So he just, like, goes with it after that, like that confidence moment he gets at the end of the pilot is straight up like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah, and he is very confident now throughout the like other four that I've now watched, mm-hmm. where he interacts with all the characters in the world. He stands up to the witches even, and he kind of is like this nerdy leader. Not so much that people really follow him, but that he like is trying to learn. Like he wants to know about this world more than anybody else. Everyone else is just like, yeah, we're here for fun, man. It's summer camp. He's like, yeah. I kind of want to know, like, why are these Yetis here? What do they mean? What do they do?
Interesting. So he suddenly grew this backbone and now has this like thirst for knowledge of like why is this world this way?
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Because the whole first episode like spends so much time introducing you to, like, you know, this tree is now a beast and it walks around, and this horse is now a tiny unicorn and that's cute. My pajamas have a face on it. I brought those pajamas with me, so why do they have a face on it? That's kind of weird, but he's actually like my buddy now. There's so much that's so strange. I think one of the strangest things was the silhouette that was like a monster under his bed, under a hedgehog's bed. And the silhouette was like drawing a map of like the island for them.
Right. Yeah.
There are just these moments that are just like very, I don't want to say off-putting, definitely to a kid who might be timid, a little bit scary, but you get to a point where you just start assuming anything and everything is going to end up having a face and talking to you, whether it's your roof or the moon or a tree or a shark or whatever.
Yeah. And there's a lot of famous voices in this show.
Yeah.
You mentioned the moon. That's Cedric the Entertainer.
Yeah. I thought that was crazy.
One episode, I believe it was the second or third episode, Alice, who's voiced by Charlene Yu,
mm-hmm.
We have all seen her. She's been in like all those movies with, George Michael's character in like, different things. She's like Asian comedian. I don't know how to describe her any other way. So you'd have to look her up. There's an episode where she is basically the second nicest witch. Like, she's not the nicest, but she's the second nicest. And her magic power is really spellbinding, where she can take non-cute things and make them cute. So if it's a rat that, like, oh, this rat is dancing, that's kind of neat. But no, if it was a tiny little mouse dancing, that's cute.
Oh my gosh.
So she takes, she decides, like, babies are cute. Like, babies are the cutest thing. Like, adult monsters, that's ugly. Babies.
She starts making everything into babies.
Yeah, so monsters are afraid of witches in this world because they don't trust them.
Hmm.
But Alice convinces them to basically have a tea party, and Oscar's like, oh, he's like good friends with these monsters now. He's like, oh, come on, let's see what she's got. You know, let's trust her. Maybe there's something to this. Nope. She decides to turn all these monsters into baby monsters. And then she just puts them in a box like you would be like free kittens. And it just says baby monsters. And she puts them out on the street, and all the kids come and pick them up. And they're like, oh, my God, these are so cute. They're little babies.
Wow.
And then the episode goes through with Oscar trying to figure out a way to convince Alice to convert these monsters back to adult monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are intelligent. One of them went to Harvard, so they're like pretty smart, and now they're babies.
Dang,
and he has to go, and he asks like some of the other witches, like I think Betsy, who is the nicest witch of them all.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, I can't do that. Her, like, I may be the nicest, but she's like the number one spellbinder cuteness magic person, so I can't undo her magic. Sorry.
Oh man, the rules for the show are so interesting. You definitely mentioned a lot of famous voice actors, or a lot of famous actors, you know, like Richard Kind, Mike Birbiglia, Bobby Moynihan, Alfred Molina. You mentioned Cedric the Entertainer, Elijah Wood, like tons of names you've heard of play characters.
That Elijah Wood episode was pretty funny.
Is it?
He's his name is Saxophone in this episode, and Oscar is learning about Yetis. There are Yetis, and this is the episode where it's snowing. So there's Yetis. They like to, like, hang out in the Yeti field. They like to roll around in laundry, and basically, like, sing. But really, they can't, like, talk. They just sound like saxophones or saxophones.
So when they open talking, their mouth, it just makes, like, saxophone noises?
Yeah. But adolescent Yetis, they can speak English and talk because they haven't, like, grown up yet.
Mm-hmm.
And Elijah Wood character, Saxophone, because that's what they name him, because that's what they sound like.
Yeah.
Decides, like, I don't want to hang out with these adult Yetis. That's kind of lame. They just, like, want to roll around in laundry all day. I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And so he goes back to camp with Oscar. And basically, Oscar realizes, like, oh, we can't keep a wild animal who is a Yeti as a pet or a friend. He needs to, like, go back into his, like, natural habitat.
Mm-hmm. Dude, this show weirdly goes places. Like, definitely, I feel like I've only touched the surface with the pilot episode that they had, like, a party and he has to get used to being, like, socially awkward. And now you're telling me there's Yetis that sound like saxophones. Like, again, the rules of the show are that there basically are no rules. Like, something can turn into a face if it needs to.
Mm-hmm.
It's super interesting, too, because I'm not even going to say this is a problem I have, but this is a thing in cartoons a lot these days, and every cartoon has their, like, own way of doing it, and that is, like, I don't know what to call it, dude. I don't want to call it weirdness for weirdness' sake, and I'm also not saying, like, putting faces on everything is weird, but it's, like, there are just new, like, things that creators like to do in shows, like bending the rules and putting faces and making sure everything can talk. It is a magical world, so that's fine, but they do it with this, like, sense of charm. They do it with a way of, like, focusing more on, like, friendship or, like, understanding. Like, there's a almost like a warmth to the weirdness in some respects. Like, I'm probably not making sense, but, like, I see it over and over and over again in shows, and I feel like Summer Camp Island takes this to another level and just, like, throws all the rules out the window. And it's just like, yeah, magic stuff, whatever.
Yeah, see ya.
The Soda Army.
Sorry, Pajamas. Between you and me, I'm not coping so well.
Hi.
Ah!
Oh, sorry, my bad. I thought you were someone else.
Just gotta take a moment to breathe. No, you know what? Stops now, Marshmallow. Whoa, dude. I'm sorry. I'm mortified.
Well, this show, it's the genre, like on Wikipedia, like says surrealism, but it's more of a younger kid show. Like, definitely, like, I think the color palette and just what the world is, it skews, like, 5 years younger than maybe a lot of the Cartoon Network shows. And because of that, you want to have that, like, hey, imagine that this can happen, and it can happen, and it looks like something, hey, you can put a face on anything and make a character out of it. Like, you can have any toy in your room come to life.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. So let's just have fun with that, and we'll play it up because that age group is more willing to accept those kind of things.
It's like a new age, like what Toy Story did for us, right? Like thinking our toys could talk to us. And so we suddenly talk to our toys. We already did anyway, but seeing it on the screen is like, oh, this is a possibility. This is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Taking it to like a different level. Yeah, the style is really interesting because it's in a similar vein to a lot of the like clean kind of like cutesy looking cartoons that are around, especially a lot of Cartoon Network fare these days. But also it had like a storybook quality to it for some reason to me that reminded me of like old Nickelodeon or Nick Jr. shows like Little Bear. It also, maybe it was the character's eyes or something about the character designs that reminded me a lot of Over the Garden Wall, which was way darker. So originally I actually thought they had something to do with it. I think it was Pat McHale made that show. And I think that I thought that they had something to do with it too, but it could just be very much influence. But it does get away a little bit from like, I was going to say it gets away from like the noodle arm thing, but there are scenes where it totally doesn't, you know, like,
right.
But I also, so it's interesting you say it skews younger. I think I agree on the whole, the show seems to more be about like learning and like be in friendship and just experiencing this stuff together and growing up together in a way. But there are small jokes that are written in there that I sit here and question watching these shows. Like, who is this for? Because there was a small...
Oh, like what?
Well, it wasn't like a dirty joke or anything like that, but I thought it was like a clever joke that I felt like was for adults or like hip adults. Like, I don't know what you'd describe it, but, you know, they had the whole bit with potholders in the beginning with like a pamphlet and stuff. And then when Oscar in the pilot episode decides... I can't take this. I'm going to go home. Hedgehog's out looking for him. And his friend asks him, like, oh, did you make him all those pot holders? He's like, yeah, I just hope wherever he is, he's not holding a pot. Like, I think that's really funny and clever. And I guess a kid could find that funny, too. But I guess I felt like it was more written for me, like an adult, than it was a kid to me for some reason. So these shows do this interesting thing where they tie that together where it can be targeted at a certain age group. And man... Don't you just wonder sometimes, like, how would we experience shows like this without the cognitive awareness that we have now, right? Like, it's a totally different thing. Like, we pick apart things because we make stuff. So we see how it's, we know how the sausage is made. So sometimes we don't enjoy the story as much as we should, or we don't let our imaginations run as much as we should. Like, a show like this feels a little bit ambiguous. Like, I'm not sure if it's for me or if it's for a kid.
So, yeah. But they have to have that. They have to have more depth now because parents are often, you know, not being a parent, but they're often having to also watch the stuff with their kids because they're concerned what it is or if it's appropriate. So I think adults and people with kids spend a lot more time watching these shows than, you know, my parents or your parents did. They didn't watch the cartoons when we watched the cartoons, but now the adult might be.
That makes sense, especially with something like this where we were talking earlier in the episode about a web presence or an app presence, right? You're probably with your kid with that device. whether it's your computer or I remember a friend's house having his family had, this is like early in Cartoon Network's website days, but they had a computer and that's where the kid wanted to watch cartoons. So it was like, there's just the family computer and that's where we sit around and watch it. So, maybe it is more of a group thing now, but kind of interesting. So generally, Brad, you've seen a few more episodes than me. I think I need to give it more of a chance, but where do you sit on the show? What do you think of it?
It's okay. I don't love it. I don't hate it. I may put it on and watch. Mm-hmm. It has a little bit of that regular show kind of thing where you can just like, it can just go forever and you can just have it on and you won't really know when one starts and one ends because it's always just like a new adventure. We're done. Next thing. Like you don't have to really pay attention to what happened before, although plots may run through, but it just feels like almost like a younger regular show.
Okay. I could see that. And I, now knowing what I know based on what you described after the first episode, like I was built up for this arc of like what he learns over the course of like the series. And again, we haven't finished the whole thing, but it sounds like a little bit of that goes out the window and each episode is very self-contained after that. So,
I would say the overall theme of it is probably like, you said friendship and questioning authority, like maybe the rules, you can make your own rules. Why should you listen to someone just because they're older than you kind of thing?
Sure. And I think it takes place in a safe space for these kids to learn and ask these questions, right? All the parents are gone. It's all just on this island for the summer. Well, not even necessarily for the summer, but yeah, in a summer camp themed setting, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, definitely interesting one. I don't know how this ran over, like passed over my radar because I feel like any new show that comes out and has a look similar to this, I end up hearing about it. Usually it's because people are mad about something on Twitter, but glad we got a chance to watch it. I still think it's super interesting the way that it premiered. I don't know why I find that so interesting that they just dumped 20 episodes over 2 days. Maybe the technicians just needed a couple days off at Cartoon Network loading in episodes. Eh, just set that one to loop.
It could have, yeah. Like I said, I think it was a test. And also maybe they just didn't have the marketing together for it, like to hype it and put promo. So like it's the summertime. Let's see if this works.
I also got to imagine even though the kids are home for the summer, I would imagine the parents still have plans on the weekend. So the fact that you might not be around for the weekend to catch 2 full days of the series on loop, you might catch it at least at some point when you come home from going camping for the weekend or going to get up, whatever you're doing. So we can't speculate. We don't take our kids anywhere for summer vacation because we don't have them. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. Let's get out of here. Brad, where can people find out more about you when you're not recording Toon Talk Weekly?
So you can follow me on Twitter. It's @brad and then my blog, digitalhitchhiker.com.
Great. Guys, go check them out over there. You can follow me on Twitter @JacobWilliams. And of course, if you want more Toon Talk Weekly, we're all over the place on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Google+ as @ToonTalkWeekly. ToonTalkWeekly@gmail.com is the place to send in your emails. Let us know if, I'd be interested to know if Cartoon Network or any other network like Nickelodeon has done this before, because I think we're basically both out of the loop of how cable schedules operate because we just watch a lot of stuff on demand. So I'd be interested to hear that. ToonTalkWeekly@gmail.com. And finally, the website ToonTalkWeekly.com is the main hub for the show. All the past episodes you can find over there, as well as Brad's recent obsession with Fairy Tale, which was last week's episode. If you caught that one, that one's up there as well. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll see where we go next week. It's been a lot of new cartoons. We might have to go older next week, but there's always time to change our minds.
Right.
So that's going to do it for this week's show. We'll be back next week with another cartoon.
Take care.
To learn more about the show, visit toontalkweekly.com or follow us on Twitter @ToonTalkWeekly.